Hey everybody, Simon Rentner here. Welcome to The Checkout. You can also listen to it on iTunes, Stitcher, where you get your podcasts, produced at WBGO in Newark, New Jersey, the home of 88.3 FM. WBGO.org as well. These are the words of a true giant that left us recently. In Africa, I discovered what the true purpose of a musician is. We are historians, and it is our purpose to tell the story, the true story of our past, and to extend a better vision of the future. Those are the words from the legendary pianist and composer Randy Weston, as printed in the program of his homegoing service on September 10th, 2018. The chief, as some would call him, would leave this earth on September 1st. He died in his Brooklyn home at the age of 92. Many musical luminaries, literary figures, and even some of our own here at WBGO, including John Newcott, went to his memorial service. Newcott says there were so many incredible and moving, stirring moments, including an orchestra of drummers and a moment where everybody in the audience stood up and sang to the heavens, shouting out, hoping to send a message to the spirit of Randy Weston himself. Also there were Weston's longtime African rhythm band members, Alex Blake, TK Blue, Neil Clark, Robert Trowers, and the saxophonist Billy Harper. Today we remember Randy Weston, his music, philosophy, and bring you an exclusive concert we captured at the 2016 Panama Jazz Festival, the year he celebrated his 90th birthday. I got the chance to talk to him about his life, but more specifically, we also delve into his Panamanian heritage. I should note that both Alex Blake, his bassist, and the drummer Billy Cobham, who Weston also played with, also have roots in Panama, and I was curious to know how he identified himself as it pertained to his roots in Panama.
Let's go south. We're going to go down to Panama and hang out, you know.
But before we bring you that conversation, let's bring you a duo performance with the bassist Alex Blake and Weston playing an ode to Central America, to Panama. This is from Randy Weston's very last recording entitled The African Nubian Suite. Released in 2017, here is a duo, Nanapa Panama Blues.
Thank you.
Panama. Not a far, Panama. Yeah.
I'm sitting here with a figurative and quite literal giant of this music in jazz, standing at 6'8". Randy Weston. 6'7".
Watch your language.
The pianist and composer was born on April 6, 1926. That means in April this year, 2016, he's turning 90. He was born and raised in Brooklyn, but don't let that fool you. He is a Pan-Africanist of the first order and identifies with nations all around the globe. And we're here at the Panama Jazz Festival to talk about his Panamanian African heritage, which isn't so known, right? People think of you more as like a Jamaican guy.
That's a good question. I never thought about that, you know, because my dad is Panamanian. My mother's from Virginia, you see. I was born in Brooklyn. So they knew my dad was Panamanian, but also he has Jamaican roots, you know, because my grandmother was born in Jamaica and came to Panama. She owned a bakery, and my father was born in Panama, you see. So it's a common, it all depends on who you talk with, you know, because my dad was very proud of his Panamanian roots.
Is it true that the reason why you play the piano, Randy Weston, is because of your father walking down the street in Panama?
Well, he told me later on that he was at a hotel in Panama somewhere, and he heard a guy playing the piano, and the piano was so beautiful. And you see, that generation, they weren't musicians, but they were musicians. They loved music. My mother, my father, took us to the Apollo Theater, take us to Calypso dances, the Black Church, the blues. So we grew up with music. So they were musicians, although they didn't actually play music, you see. But that was a very important part of the culture, and they knew whether music was right or not right. They knew right away, yeah. And it was a period wherein they were really great artists, really great artists. You had to be good. You couldn't pretend to be. You had to be good. Those people knew whether the music was right or not. So I grew up with that kind of culture.
In your book, you said that your father really admired the piano in the shop, so that planted the seed to get you playing the piano right away.
Yeah, he wanted me to study piano. And it was in the neighborhood, you see, because it was segregation, period. We couldn't go into the white community at that time. Everything was in the African-American community. But in that community, almost all of our parents, you had to take art. You had to take piano or trumpet or dancing. You had to take art. That was required. Yeah. And my dad loved the piano, so he wanted me to take piano lessons.
So how do you think your father would feel today that you are now being honored, the guest of honor for the Panama Jazz Festival 2016.
I'm still amazed because it's really his honor. It's really his festival, my father, because he gave me Africa, he gave me music, he gave me dignity, he gave me the truth of who we are as a people, because we grew up in a world where an African people had no civilization, no culture. Your skin was the wrong color. Your hair was the wrong texture, you see. So my dad, he was a treasure in my apartment. He had books on African culture. He had maps on the wall of African kings and queens. He always talked about Timbuktu. He talked about the walls of Zimbabwe. He would talk about the pyramids. He says, that's our history. And he said, my son, at 6 years old, you're African born in America. Don't let anybody take that away from you. And colonialism has separated us. He said, we're the same people wherever you find us, you see. So my dad gave me that basic training of who I was. He said, the most important thing in life is know thyself, know who you are. Because when you go out in the other world, you're going to have to deal with a lot of lies, a lot of deceptions, a lot of untruths, you see. So I was very blessed.
Let's listen to some music. This is Saga from Randy Weston's African Rhythms, Loose Wig, featuring the Panamanian bassist, Alex Blake. Why is she laughing?
That's her favorite song. So she's very happy.
I'm Simon Rentner here for The Checkout, sitting here with the amazing Randy Weston at the Panama Jazz Festival. So in 2006, you made your homecoming here. Or describe that experience. Are you home or is Morocco home?
Morocco's home. I'm home here too. I'm home on the planet. But especially when I'm in the Caribbean and Africa, because my father said, always look for black people wherever you go. Where you go in the world, you look for the black people. Because you're going to find them where we are. They're going to have us on the bottom of the pile. He said, but you're going to find deep culture. You're going to find music is very spiritual. So whether it's Brazil, whether it's Cuba, wherever it is, Spain, wherever I go, I always look for the black people. And Duke Ellington said, watch black people, you know. Watch the way we move, the way we talk, the way we cook our food, the way we dance, the way we argue. That's the spirit of our music, you see. So between my dad and Duke Ellington, I couldn't go wrong. And it's true. So wherever I go, I look for the people and I see the similarity, because the whole concept is to separate us, you see. But my dad said, no, said, we are African first. Then after we become everything else. And you have to love Mother Africa, because that's the place of creation of the whole entire human race. And everything was taken from Africa. African people always give. We always give, you see. So now we have to give back to Mother Africa. So my dad put that into me. Plus he was a great follower of Marcus Garvey. And Marcus Garvey said the same thing. We have to rebuild our motherland, because much has been taken away from her, you see.
Do you think you'll receive the same kind of response playing African Cookbook here as you have in Africa?
You never know. You never know. The music is universal, international. I could play it in Switzerland. I could play it in France. I could play it in Morocco. I could play it. Because the music represents the beginning of all of us, that we all come from Africa. So with the cookbook, I'm trying to bring all of us back to the origins of music. Because the whole concept of music started in Africa. And our ancestors created music by listening to Mother Nature. You see the sound of the birds, the insects, the sound of the wind. That's how music was created. At the same time, music was a message. In Africa, you have a harvest. Have music for that harvest. If the African musician is going to make an instrument, he has to cut down a certain tree. He has to say certain prayers to that tree. So Mother Nature is the original orchestra, you see. So when you get deep into it, you realize music is the first language of the planet Earth. And it's the one language that we can all understand all over the planet. So with the cookbook, it can happen anywhere.
Thank you. When I went to Senegal and studied the music of Mbalax and some of the traditional drumming, sabar drumming there, it was amazing to find out how popular salsa was there. So it was like this full circle kind of thing that was occurring. And I hear that in African cookbook.
Yeah, because African cookbook basically is a 6-8 rhythm. You find a 6-8 rhythm all over Africa, but you find variations on the 6-8 rhythm. So you can hear the Berbers doing a 6-8 their way. You can hear in other parts of Africa, that's 6-8. And why that rhythm is so powerful? Because you can dance to 6-8 if you're 2 years old or 90 years old, you see. So the cookbook, the foundation is a 6-8 rhythm. Then on top, I'm creating the north of Africa, you see, to show the combination, you see. So, and also, what do I mean by cookbook? All the spices are in the cookbook. So we did the last cookbook on the spirit of our ancestors. The great Melba Liston, she took part of the cookbook and made a blues out of it. She went from 6-8 to 4-4, you see. So for me, that song, which I've had great success, 14 countries in Africa, we always end with the African cookbook. It's like saying to everybody, hey, the origins of all of us is Mother Africa, and we have to love her and respect her because she's fed the earth, the civilization, the music, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Sitting here with Randy Weston at the 2016 Panama Jazz Festival. He's being honored here, and we are all delighted to have him with us. Let's go to another recording of yours, actually what happens to be your best-selling record of all time, even though you've had some issues with it in the past. Blue Moses, Randy Weston in 1972 on CTI. Alex Blake, your bassist, who is Panamanian, said that when he heard this song or this recording, he heard Panama. He heard the songs of Panama growing up. What was he hearing?
Well, that means that African rhythms cross borders and frontiers. With music, there's no boundaries, you see. So what we might call Panamanian rhythms is really African rhythms, you see. It's like Mother Africa, her children were taken away because Africa was the first civilization. But the way Mother Nature works, what's ever on top goes to the bottom. Nothing stays up on top, you see. So African civilization, being the first, going back to Nubia, going back to ancient Egypt, right now, was on top. It's the first civilization. Music, science, medicine, you name it. Then after thousands of years, it went down, you see, went down to the bottom. So all these rhythms have been spread all over the planet Earth. But for me, they're all African rhythms, you see. Whether it's Panama or Cuba or Jamaica or Bolivia or China, wherever, it's all African rhythms. And Mother Africa, she's the boss of the planet Earth. Africa is the spiritual center of the planet Earth, you see. And so wherever her people have been taken, whether they come in contact with a box, they come in contact with a bottle, they make music, because in Africa, you make music out of anything. You don't have to have an instrument. And I remember growing up in Brooklyn, seeing African Americans making music with their chest, make the music like this, making music with sound, you see. So an African can make music of anything. So wherever African people were taken, whatever was available, they made music out of it. If it was a forest, they made music in the forest. If it was a desert, they make music of the desert, because they know, as they say, music is the voice of the creator. God has given us music so we can communicate on a level of planet Earth, that spiritual power of music. It's the first language. Before French, before Spanish, before Portuguese, before Arabic, only language with music. So music is wonderful because wherever I go in the world, I go to Japan, I go to Europe, I go to South America, I go to Caribbean. By the way, we speak the same language. When I arrive at the airport, people I've never seen before, they look at me, I look at them, and we hug each other. Why? Not the way we look, but because of music. So music is the first language of the planet, you see. And Mother Africa is the place where music started. So wherever her children were taken, one way or the other, she made music, you see.
Ganawa, Blue Moses, Randy Weston's from 1972, which happens to also feature Billy Cobham, who is Panamanian as well. So you talk about Africa and music in this, I'm trying to simplify it a little bit. I know it's not simple, but in this kind of universal way, universalism kind of approach to music and people and culture. But yet, you find yourself having long-term relationships with Panamanians, like Alex Blake. So do you think maybe even subconsciously you are tapping into your own Panamanian heritage by doing that?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You can't explain it, you know. We just, we're going to do a new recording we're going to put out soon. It's called the African Nubian Suite. And Alex Blake and I do one piece, you know, for Panama. Just piano and bass, you know. And you can hear the rhythms, you know. And so I know Alex's father. He used to have a big band in Panama. He lives in San Diego. His two sons play bass. I went to visit his father. And he has wonderful pictures of Alex at 12 years old in Panama studying the bass and studying the guitar, you know. So there's a whole, when you go back, the heritage of this music, you know, mom and pop and grandma and grandpa, you say, wow, how did these people survive racism? How did they survive segregation? Produce such beauty, you see. But when you go to the motherland, you see the source, because music was created for our spiritual language for the planet Earth. Yeah.
One of the other tunes that you're thinking of featuring this evening, I'm Simon Ratner for The Checkout, sitting here with Randy Weston, is African Sunrise, another one of your so-called hits. I'm originally commissioned by the Chicago Jazz Festival, written originally for Dizzy Gillespie.
And Machito.
That actually finally occurred with the recording Spirit of Our Ancestors.
Mm-hmm.
So sort of tell the story of that for us.
Well, the story of African Sunrise is when I lived in Tangier in Morocco. I was in Morocco 7 years. And in Morocco and Tangier, Spain is just on the other side, you see. Yeah, Spain's over there. So in the morning, you see this incredible sun coming up very slowly, you know. So it inspired me, African Sunrise, which also means the rise of African culture. Because slowly but surely, Mother Africa is going to be recognized today. Before, the image of Africa was no history, nothing. Just people with nothing, you know. So the sunrise is also symbolic of the rise of African culture. Because everybody on the planet Earth has African blood, you see. We all come from Mother Africa. So the sunrise is about seeing that wonderful sun in Tangier you know, and just going up slowly, and it inspired me. Because what I do, I always try to be involved somehow with Mother Nature, because she's the original orchestra. She's the original inspiration for me. So from that piece, and then I got this call from the Chicago Jazz Festival that they wanted me to do a piece for Dizzy Gillespie and Machito. So after that, organic, spiritual, whatever you want, what involves creation, I don't know. Yeah, but that was the original meaning of African sunrise.
Seen so many eras of Africa going through so much. I mean, and each country obviously has its own history, and there's usually like 12 or 20 different ethnic groups and even individual countries. Do you think Africa is better than it was?
No, I can't say it's better. I can't say that. Because of the effect of colonialism, the effect of slavery has its impact on the people of Africa. And it would take years to recover, because this was very serious. Because during the time of slavery, some of the best Africans were taken away. And that's why you have so many brilliant Africans in the Western Hemisphere, because they came from very high places, everything. On the other side, spiritually, I feel that Africa is rising. But I can't put my finger on it. But even the recognition of myself. When we did Uhuru Africa in 1960, which was dedicated for the freedom, independence of 17 African countries, that was our way of honoring Mother Africa. At that time, it was a little difficult because people couldn't connect Randy West with Africa. Because Africa is a place to be ashamed of. You're not supposed to connect with Mother Africa. Today it's not like that. People are approaching me, they're calling me, they want to know about my life in Africa. What were the people like? So that part has changed, and I see a very powerful spiritual change going on.
Musicians that sort of are in your generation or around your generation change their names to reflect African names. Randy, did you ever consider changing your name?
I better not. My father would kill me. You better keep that Western. What? My dad was very proud. No. I never wanted to do that, you see. Yeah. Because we know language began in Africa, what they call hieroglyphics. Even before that, in Nubian society, they created language, which some of the people today can't decipher what happened in Nubia with language. But the whole concept of language began in Africa. That meant from Africa, languages happened all over the planet, you see. So they feel all languages belong to us, you see. But other artists feel it different ways. Some want to change their name, whatever, never. But with my dad, no. He said, "You be proud of that name." I said, "Yes, sir." And I couldn't argue with my dad. He's very strong.
Yeah. We're speaking with Randy Weston on the Checkout. He's being celebrated at the 2016 Panama Jazz Festival, and we've been listening to his amazing discography of music for over so many decades, and hearing music right here at the festival. And I should also mention, he has an incredible book that you should check out, an autobiography, recounting all of these amazing tales and stories, and philosophy, really. It's a book of philosophy, isn't it, Randy Weston?
Just a story of my life. Things I could never explain. My piano teacher gave up after 3 years. That poor lady had to go through a lot of pain trying to get me to play the scales. But I couldn't identify with European music because we grew up with the blues, the big band, the jazz, the calypso, you know. And plus I was very tall for my age, you see, whatnot. So I had that kind of history, but it was meant to be somehow for me to be involved with music and take this music all over the world and tell people that this music comes originally from Mother Africa. And she's the beginning of all of us. You see, so I can't explain some things that have happened, kind of a mystery, kind of a magic, when you get involved with music. But I have to point out something that's very important. In early 20th century, people like U.B. Blake, people like Duke Ellington, they were writing music about Africa. Nothing new. Duke Ellington, he was a master. Through his work, through his music, whether it was black, brown, and beige, whether it was black or tan, fantasy. But you check out Ellington, he was totally into Africa. But what happened, those of us who became younger, we were taught to get away from the old people. They know what was happening. But they knew. Somebody like U.B. Blake, somebody like Lucky Roberts, Lullaby of the Lyle, you see. Because they were close to Africa. So the whole idea is I had to go back to Louis Armstrong, go back to King Oliver, go back to the music of the 20s and 30s to discover.
Go back to Louis Russell.
Yeah. Well, I didn't know Louis Russell. I just knew his name. I didn't know his music, you see. But that generation, they were totally into African culture, you see. So I had to go back, look at the lyrics, look at the listen to the music. I said, oh, my God, I'm not doing nothing new. So everything I do is about studying what happened before.
Do you notice, just in terms of Panama, like musically speaking, what are the strains, shall we say, of Africa that you hear in Panamanian folkloric music specifically?
That's hard to describe. It's feeling. I don't analyze.
Okay.
I just feel, you know. So for me, it's the Africans in Panama, what they did with music in Panama. The Africans in Jamaica, what they did with music in Jamaica. The Africans in Puerto Rico. The Africans in St. Lucia. You see? So for me, it's like Duke Ellington said beautifully. He said it's the African pulse that makes our music different. Whether you want to call it hip-hop, whether you want to call it jazz, whether you want to call it blues, he said it all has that pulse of Mother Africa. But the pulse is so strong and the bass is so strong that so many variations of that theme, you see. So in Panama, it's like, hey, I'm in a Panamanian version of African civilization, you know. And the only way I can describe it.
Well, we wrap this interview up with going to Ghana then. So tell us about this composer from Ghana that you might be playing music from this evening.
His name was Kofi Ghanaba. He was known as Guy Warren in the States. He's from Ghana. He went to Chicago. He's one of the first, not the very first, there was a couple before him, Asudala Defoe of Guinea, who taught African traditional music in the United States. You see, because most of us haven't had that kind of contact with your original music from Africa. So I met Kofi Ghanaba. I met him in 1967 in Accra.
On your first tour.
Yeah, and we spent 10 days in Accra. And I met with him. Chief Bey adored him. He used to be at the African Room in New York. But he's the first one to teach us the complexities of African traditional music, you see. So from that point on, and I was already interested, when we did the State Department tour in 1967, went to 14 countries in Africa, including Beirut and Lebanon. So I required for the State Department, wherever I go, I want to find the oldest musicians I can find. I want to find the most traditional music I can find. So in some places, I was able to do that, not others. But with Kofi Ghanaba, we spent 10 days in Accra together. And he wrote this song, and it's called Love, the Mystery Of. It has a sensuous, slow rhythm, which I love. So for every concert, for years now, that's been my theme song.
This has been quite an honor and pleasure speaking with you, Randy Weston. Thank you so much for joining us on the Checkout and Jazz Night in America. Rest in power, Randy Weston. We will miss you. If you like this show and you want to hear more, you can hear this interview in a greater context in a larger program we did for Jazz Night in America. You can listen to that, plus more of Weston's performance from the 2016 Panama Jazz Festival online at NPR Music. Also a reminder that the show is a podcast. Subscribe to it on iTunes and Stitcher. Give us a review if you like the show. We like to hear your feedback. And definitely follow us on social media, the Checkout from WBGO on Facebook, at Checkout Jazz on Twitter. I'm at Simon Rettner on Instagram. A special thanks to Berklee College of Music for making this program possible. Also the folks at Jazz Night in America, Alex Arif, and our production assistant, Anthony Nieves. The Checkout is a production of WBGO Newark. I'm Simon Rettner. Thanks for checking us out.